This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Fridays. There's still so much to get to tonight. Let's do a little history first, though. Might help us understand the future and how things go. This is a good one. Dear El Sombrero, I was watching recently the new All Quiet on the Western Front and got to thinking about trench warfare. By the way, that movie's on Netflix. If you have Netflix, it's heavy. It's done in a foreign language, so you have to deal with the voice dubbing thing. That's normally a bother for me. It was not bad. Just, you need to know going in, that's what you're dealing with. Anyway, you got to thinking about trench warfare. How did it come to be? Did the armies just show up just out of artillery range and start digging their way back to the front? Did they meet up somewhere? How did such a thing work? I can't imagine how many millions of miles of trench were dug. Okay, look, this is, I think, going to help us for how warfare is going to look in the future. It does help to look at things in the past and see how these things come to be. How did it come to be? Why weren't there all these trenches before World War I? Now, men have always dug in a hole or created a berm or a wall, but why these trenches in World War I? Well, all combat, all warfare, it's all punching and then counterpunching. It's you figuring out a way to get at him, and once that works, he's going to figure out a way to counter that to stop you from getting at him. And let's pause on this before I go back to the history. Part of the reason, you know how I always talk about people who die in training accidents, in our military training accidents? There are people we always try to honor on this show. A helicopter goes down in training. This guy dies in training, and we try to honor those people specially on the show. Well, part of that reason is, when it comes to military things, that's how lives are saved, by people dying. I know that sounds upside down and weird, but it is true. When it comes to military things, people have to die in order for more lives to be saved in the long run. Meaning, this thing killed these guys. Oh my gosh, that was awful. We don't want that to happen again. Let's come up with a plan so it doesn't happen again. Okay, so let's go to World War I. What happened? Artillery, like cannons and things like that, it'd been around for a long time, obviously before World War I. But what really had taken off in the years in between, there had been a major conflict. Just stay with me, you non-gun nerds, okay? And you gun nerds are going to have to deal with some extremely dumbed-down talk. This is for people who don't geek out on it. One of the big things that really took off was rifling of a barrel. What is rifling in a barrel? If you look down a rifle's barrel or a pistol's barrel, whatever, let's just make it simple. If you look down a rifle's barrel, it is not smooth like you think, like it is on the outside. There are grooves in there. What are those grooves for? The bullet doesn't come out and just flatly shoot. The bullet comes out the end of a rifle, the round. No, bullet. We'll keep it simple. It comes out spinning. It spins so it can go faster and further and a lot more accurately. For the same reason, look, you at least know what football is, right? For the same reason, when a quarterback throws a football, it's not some lame duck thing he knuckleballs out there. The ball is spinning. It spins because it moves it faster and more accurately and further. Same thing applies to rifling in a barrel. Okay, so World War I, what had happened was, yes, these different countries around the world, they were still building forts and fortifications. But they were also advancing their guns and making them bigger and figuring out just how big can we make one of these, quote, cannons. Now, you take a cannon, what had been normally a ball had been shot out of a cannon. And instead of a ball, what if we put something in there that's kind of shaped like a football? And what if we put some rifling in the barrel? And wow, our cannon just went from 200 meters accurate to a mile. What if we make it bigger? Okay, we made it bigger. What if we make it even bigger than that? Long story short, by the time World War I kicked off, countries like Germany had artillery weapons that were so gigantic, they not only had to be hauled by train, because no vehicle could haul the things, in order to shoot these weapons, the people who were shooting them had to be so far away from the weapon, they had to have things like gauze inserted in their eyes and ears so their heads didn't explode when they shot the round. These rounds would go miles and miles and miles. And the people had never fought a war like that beforehand. Now, add in machine guns. Machine guns prior to this were not really a thing. There were machine guns that have been used, very early machine guns in other conflicts, but nothing like they had in World War I. Now I can just hold the trigger and it just keeps shooting endlessly? Wow, that's great. Okay, so World War I, the very beginning of World War I is such a gruesome bit of business. I actually have a book for you. I think, Chris, make sure this is the correct title, Guns of August. The Guns of August. I believe I haven't read this book in a while. It's a World War I book. And what it is, that's correct? Okay, it is. The Guns of August is the name of the book. It's a World War I book about the very beginning of World War I. And look, all of World War I was horrible. 1915 on the Western Front in World War I, I maintained, has got to be the worst place in human history. The very beginning of World War I, man, just the lives lost. It's the most heartbreaking thing in the world, because these troops would do what they'd always done. What do? You mass up and charge. Get on your horse, boys. Pull out your sword for king and country. Charge. Okay. Charge my machine gun nest. See how many of you are alive by the time you get here. Courage and things like that mean nothing when you're charging a machine gun nest on open ground. You're all going to die. And the same thing was happening with artillery. Men would mass up because that's what you did. You massed up and did things. Okay, go ahead and mass up and let me drop an accurate artillery round near your guys. I will take out an entire unit with one shot. And it happened many times. And in World War I, it was extra heartbreaking, because these guys would oftentimes, in countries like Britain, they would keep men together from the same town. So all the young men in this town would join, and they'd all go fight, and then one charge of a machine gun nest, one artillery round, and you're all gone. Absolutely gone. Yeah, Chris just said the Gustav gun. Chris is looking up things like artillery rounds. 43,000 yards. 43 football fields. No, that's not right. 430 football fields. 430 football fields. So why did the trenches start? Because in the very beginning, everyone's charging each other. Germans are charging. The Brits are charging. The French are charging. Everyone's charging. And everyone's dying. They're all just getting wiped out. Everyone's dying. And what do you do? What do you do when the air above ground is full of deadly steel? There's only one thing to do. Go down. You have to go down under the ground. You have to go down under the ground in a way that will also allow you to shoot back. Therefore, you dig a trench. It's a tale as old as time. You dig down and let the earth protect you. And it was just a horrible defensive war because no one could figure out for the longest time, how do I play offense against a trench when they're dug in with their guns aimed at me? If I get up and charge it, everyone will die. That's why they did amazing things, horrible, but amazing things like tunnel underneath the trenches by hand and put explosives under there and blow people up. They came up with things like trench mortars. It's why gas came to be. You know what? I'm actually running out of time. I'll finish that thought on gas and then we will, not that kind of gas, and then we'll move on and talk about politics. What's the most rabid of the American communist brands? We'll talk about that and many other things still to come. Before we get to that, if I'm talking a little fast, you're going to have to forgive me. You see, I normally take my Chad Mode powder from Chalk right before I work out. Today, I was all excited for Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and I thought, well, forget it. I've already taken my Male Vitality Stack this morning. I'll just pour a quick scoop of Chad Mode in some water. Poured it in some water, chugged it, and drove to the studio. I'm just bouncing off the walls here. Chris and Michael are too. This stuff is awesome. All natural caffeines and stuff like that. Not filled. All that other crap, it's got a bunch of garbage in it that's bad for you. You know Chalk doesn't do that. Everything's natural. They spent 2 years on Chad Mode. Go get a Male Vitality Stack, Female Vitality Stack. Get some Chad Mode and try it. Veterans Day sales, Black Friday sales, everything right now at Chalk.com. Chok.com. Promo code Jesse. Go try some Chad Mode, man. This stuff, I'm telling you what, I'm going to try to slow myself down. Hang on.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Biden to sit down with Chinese Xi Jinping next Wednesday in San Francisco. I can't believe I'm going to say what I'm about to say, but can't we send Dome? And look, I know Dome is what she is. I know, but Xi Jinping is a evil but crafty human being. And he's all about, everyone I know who knows, he's all about reading people, trying to figure out things. We can't send Joe Biden out there. Oh, that's not a good idea at all. Oh, man. You watch, Chris. About 15 minutes after this, they're going to invade Taiwan. You watch. Oh, gosh. All right. One more thing on the World War One thing, because the question was about trenches, and we're going to move on to American commies and things like that. That's why the Germans busted out the gas, you should know. It was the stalemate that was driving everyone crazy. They're in their trenches. We're in our trenches. I'm not saying we, but America wasn't involved yet. But trenches over there, trenches over here. Every time we charge, everyone dies. Everything's just a mess. It's all razor wire and artillery shells. How do we get people out of trenches? Well, poison gas, if you have the right blend, is heavier than the air. And so if you can manage to find a way to get it over towards their trench, which you have to wait till the wind is right. You don't want the wind to be blowing in your face. But once the wind is right, it's actually really creepy if you ever read any of the stories about the employment of it and people who had it coming their way. All of a sudden, it looked like just an odd colored cloud on the ground slowly creeping towards your trench. And once it got to your trench, because it's heavier than the air, down it goes into the trench. People die ugly. That's how it goes. All right. Hey, Shogun. Oh, pause on that. Sorry. One more quick story on this. Just sounds like you want a World War One story? I forget where I read this one, but World War One story. Bunch of dudes. They're in an underground bunker. All right, a deep, I don't mean 10 feet by 10 feet, way, way down, a deep underground bunker, concrete rebar, the works. This is a place where men are resting. They're receiving medical care. So they're in a deep, deep underground bunker. At night, it's pitch black. It's already dark under there anyway. At night, it's pitch black. They gas it. the gas streams down through the opening, down into the bunker where men, wounded men, other men are sleeping. And in the pitch black, men are waking up to being choked to death by gas that's filling up the bunker. They're fighting each other as you would in a panic for gas masks or anything. And they just lay down there and die in droves. It's horrible, right? But that's World War One. Everyone knows about World War Two. World War One, trust me, it's worth a read. It's heavy, heavy. All right. Hey, Shogun, in your opinion, what part of the communist menu group are the most rabid in your opinion? I feel they're all dangerous, but for some reason, I hold stronger apprehension to the fanatic LGBTQ wing. They strike me as the ones who would be most willing to put a bullet in my head for what I believe. What do you think? Okay. One, remember, they are all really the same. It's all the same group. There's a reason they work together all the time. But let's assume you're just talking about the true believers in the various street communist groups, because there are true believers in these groups. Morons who've been manipulated and abused by the elite communist scum. Who are the most violent? You say it's the LGBTQ.
Why are you gay?
In my experience, this is just my experience, there's nobody as violent as the climate changers. Nobody. And I'm not dismissing the others. Yes, you start criticizing Black Lives Matter, the death threats will come pouring in. You start criticizing the LGBTQ demon mob, the death threats will come pouring in. But the climate change nutters, them more than anyone else, they believe they're not only in a fight for all mankind, they believe they are on a strict time limit. That's what gets them so amped up and so violent. That's why they've already murdered so many people, and that's why they'll routinely eat. Look, they'll announce that they want to reduce the world's population by billions of people. They announce this as their intended plan. It's not just that they want to destroy everything. They believe they are on a strict time limit. They've been drowning in propaganda like this over and over and over
again. This morning, three southern states are under a state of emergency because of wildfires. 31 separate fires are burning in 9 counties in eastern Kentucky. In North Carolina, the Colette Ridge fire has expanded to nearly 5,000 acres and is threatening homes. And over in southwestern Virginia, a fire there has grown about 8 times in size over 48 hours.
A big contributing factor is the drought. Let's go back to June 1st, when we had minimal drought in the southeast, and as we made our way through summer and into fall, it got much worse. Currently, exceptional drought, the worst possible category, now covers over 70% of Louisiana. These dry conditions, combined with hot temperatures, help fuel wildfire from Texas to Kentucky to Florida. Through Tuesday, we could see up to 5 inches of rain.
They go on to describe that it's the rising temperatures that are causing all this destruction. The climate change nutter is murderous because he believes he's saving lives by killing them. He's the worst. You know what's the best? Pure Talk. Veterans Day is upon us. It's tomorrow. And Pure Talk set out on a mission to alleviate veterans' debt by Veterans Day. And mission accomplished. How did they do that? Well, with you. You did that. You switched from your garbage cell phone provider, Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile. You switched to Pure Talk, and now veterans have better lives because of you. You have a better phone. You have a phone service that actually shares your values, and veterans are better off because of what you did. And look, you still have a day. Switch to Pure Talk. You don't need Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile. Pure Talk's on the same 5G network. You don't sacrifice service. Keep your phone. Keep your number. Get new ones. They have it all. American customer service. And all it takes to switch is picking up your phone and dialing #250 and saying Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. Switch to Pure Talk.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. You know, there was a story earlier this week about the ambulance that's been stolen in D.C.?
What's the matter for MPD?
Ambulance 32 communications. Someone stole our ambulance while we were assisting a patient.
Someone stole an ambulance in D.C.? Earlier today, someone stole a cop car. They were tracking the cop car. Hey, 92% of D.C. voted for Biden. You get what you voted for. You voted for this, D.C. All right, I'm going to get to who should vote and who shouldn't. That'll be wildly popular. Dear Oracle, I'm going to get to this one first. I have inherited my childhood home after my mom and dad passed. My dad built this place with his own hands. I'm an only child. I've lived here from birth until 20. Left home to make my life. Came back to care for my dad after my mom passed. I'm a middle-class farmer mechanic. Could never afford this land on my own. My wife and I refinanced and set a budget before the communists took over. Now we're playing the rob Peter to pay Paul game more than I'm comfortable. Should I sell out my home, move, and bank the equity and go back to living within our means with a little nest egg? Or shall I keep pounding the work hours and keep plugging? The uncertainty of the future is frightening, and I want this home for my daughter. Everything is a struggle right now. I listen to you daily on the AM dial, and I value your opinion. What are guys like us supposed to do? He says his name is James. Well, I am not dismissive of all at all about the memories people have in homes and the attachment to homes. Let me tell you something real quick. Let's talk about me. I'm going to get back to the question. Let's talk about me. You know, I'm kind of a cold person. I can't help it. I just don't get extremely emotional about very many things. And I try not to get attached to too many things. Things come and things go. It's just the way it goes. But when it comes to places I've lived, even though I've moved so much in my life, I mean, my goodness, 20, 30 times in my life, I always get a little attached when we sell a house and move. When we, you know, I told you the wife and I lived in an apartment for a long time. When I leave a place, I look at it and I think about all the memories we had there. Look, we did this here and we did that there. And I it's not like I cry, but it means something to me. And that's me with an apartment that I don't give a crap about. Your dad built it with his bare hands and you have these memories there caring for your father, your parents, everything. I know that's going to be heavy. I know that means so much to you. And man, I respect that. At the same time, I'm a father. I have two sons. I obviously have things I want for my sons. I want them to be good men, better men than I am. I want them to be husbands and fathers. I want them to be fighters for what's right. You know, I have these things I want for them. But what I don't want ever, 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 because I love them so much, I don't ever want them to hold themselves back from something for my sake. For my sake. You know, I told you, let me tell you a little story. I don't think I've ever told this before. So, you know, I told you about the time I joined the Marines, my folks started a construction company. Well, they were good at it, and it went really, really well. And it was churning and burning. About the time I lost my congressional race and whatnot, it's really rolling along. And that's what I had done. And, you know, parents, you know, my father builds this thing. They pour their blood, sweat, and tears in it, and they build this wonderful family business. And my dad had a heart for me to take that, right? And who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want that? I felt called to do something different. To pursue something different. And he never, ever begrudged me that at all because he didn't want what he wanted for me. He wanted me to do what I was supposed to do. Your dad built that home with his bare hands, and that should be something you should be proud of. And I'm sure it's something he's proud of and your mom was proud of. Do you think your dad would want you to put yourself and your family in a financial bind for the home he built? No way. I have a strong suspicion a family like this, you had a father who would tell you without hesitation, you take care of yourself and your family the way I took care of you. And caring for your family might mean selling a home that means a lot to you. You take care of you. Your dad's gone. That's what he would want. All right? Well, I assume. Dear Oracle, assuming your plans for dictatorship goes well and all the commies end up in a gulag and the FBI is scattered to the winds, what are your plans for voting rights after you retire to your World War II tour through the Pacific? How would you keep future commies from voting against our country's best interests as is happening currently? Okay, well, first and foremost, let's understand this. While I am a fan of strict anti-communist things like communists should not be allowed employment. Communists should not really be welcome in very many communities. They should be banned from communities. And I really do mean that. They should be. And everyone's going to think I'm nuts. That's been the law of the land in America forever. Communists have not been allowed to work in government. It was always understood they're evil parasite demons and you have to keep them out. So I'm in favor of bans. You can't do this. You can't do this. You can't be here. However, you cannot just ban your way to freedom. And they say, you know what? Let's bring it up. We've been talking about it all week. And I'm going to come back to this, who should vote and who shouldn't. Don't think I'm dodging it. The abortion talk. I'm pro-life. You know that. Whether the bans are popular or not, whether you want them or not, you cannot ban abortion into America being a pro-life country. You could pass all the bans you want. That will not change the hearts of the people. And the hearts of the people are the most important thing. Your country will have a religion. There has never been in the history of the world a country that is religionless. And there's a reason for that. It's how you build your laws. It gives people some sort of a moral guidance system for yourself. Doesn't mean you have to be. Doesn't mean each and every citizen has to believe this or believe that. But your nation has to have that. If it doesn't, it'll find one. Communism didn't just show up here and take over. Communism, slowly but surely, filled the vacuum as the country lost Christianity. Every little thing and things we rolled our eyes about at the time or didn't think were big deals at the time, but were actually a really big deal. One of the most common things the left makes fun of the right for and the right makes fun of the right for is the Merry Christmas. How nobody says that anymore. Now everything's Happy Holidays. It's not a little thing. It's another thing along the road. Banning 10 Commandments from the courtrooms, banning it from the schools. You can remove God all you want. Another one's coming in. If you really, truly want your nation to fight back against communism, your nation must have a different religion. You can't just freedom, baby, freedom. A religion is necessary. That's part of it. Another part of it is who should vote and who should not. And this is the part that will offend everyone. Well, I guess not everybody, but most people. Before I get to that, let's do this. Let's talk about free meat. Right now, with costs exploding everywhere, especially meat costs, when there's an offer out there like free meat, that should be something that perks your ears up. How about hand-cut top sirloins, wild-caught salmon fillets, better-than-organic chicken breasts, applewood smoked bacon? Any of those things sound good? How about a free year supply of one of those things? When you go to Good Ranchers, goodranchers.com, subscribe to a meat box. So all your meat needs, no matter what it is, it's delivered to your front door. You will get your choice of one of those free for a year. That's saving up to $500. It's a Black Friday offer right now. GoodRanchers.com. Promo code Jesse. American meat delivered to your front door from a company that actually shares our values. And sadly, in the grocery industry, that's pretty much non-existent anymore. GoodRanchers.com, promo code Jesse gets you $20 off the box and free cut of meat for a year. So go, GoodRanchers.com, promo code Jesse. Who should meet? Who should vote? Who should vote and who shouldn't? And more. Next. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. How excited are we to be here? Yeah! We're that excited to be here. Now, before I get back to the rest of the Ask Dr. Jesse questions, let's answer the big one. Who should vote? Once I'm a dictator and I clean everything up and everything goes back to normal, who's going to vote? Well, first of all, let's understand something. Women are not going to vote. That's just not going to be something that happens at all. You can trace the size of our government exploding directly back to that. And that's not an insult to women. I know people think that is. It's really not. Women vote differently because a woman is different than a man. It is hard. Some of the most hardcore conservative women I know will look at something they don't like and say, why doesn't the government ban it? It's just instinct for them. And prior to women voting, it wasn't like it was only men. It was households who voted. Households. The husband would sit down with the wife and they would figure out what's best for their family and he would go vote. So one, women, gone. Two, young people, gone. Ah, but Jesse, everybody should have a right. Oh, shut up. That's nursery rhyme conservatism. If you went back in time and you told the founding fathers, you lined up Thomas Jefferson and George Washington and John Adams and Hancock and all of them. You lined them all up and you told them, hey, guys, this country you're starting, guess what? One day, everybody who lives to the age of 18 is going to get a say in the government. They would have surrendered their muskets immediately and just handed the thing right back to the British and said, screw it. That's pointless. What, Chris? Give you a number? 30? 35? Oh, there's an age limit, too, I should note. Let's see. Don't think it's just young people who are being insulted here. Call it 65 or 70. You're done. Doesn't mean every 65 or 70-year-old doesn't know what they're doing, of course. People age different ways. But once you get to the age where possibly you're starting to slow down, look at our president. No more voting for you. While you're still 17, 18 years old, and you still think it's fun to ride on the rooftop of a car going 65 down a highway, no, you don't get a say in who runs the most powerful country on the planet. So let's say men between the ages of 30 and 70. Men between the ages of, but wait, I'm not done. You didn't think that was it, right? Just because you live to be a dirtball man at the age of 30 doesn't mean you get to vote. Taxpayers, you will pay federal taxes, whether that be just property taxes or whatever, or you don't get to vote, period. You don't have a stake in the game, period. Chris asked about felons. See, this is where I'm going to be soft, Jesse. I have no problem with felons voting once you've served your time. I believe in redemption. I'm not one of these guys that as soon as someone goes to prison, he's a dirt ball for life. That's crazy talk. People have changed their lives and turned their lives around a million times for that. You pay your debt to society, pay your sentence. Sure, go back to voting. Government workers, Chris? Oh, well, that's going to work a little different. That's going to work a little different. No, government workers are not allowed to vote, and you're not allowed to work in or around the federal government for any period longer than 5 years. There's a five-year cap at all times, no matter what. And that includes industries adjacent to the government. You don't get to be in the defense industry for 35 years either, buying off politicians. So now all of them sound just like Lindsey Graham. Oh my gosh, we need more money for Ukraine. No. 5-year government cap, whether you're in or around government, that applies to every single portion of it with special exemptions for longtime military personnel, because I'm a big believer in a smaller military of highly trained NCOs that are ready to train up a new generation of fighters should war break out. Other than that, whether it be a politician, bureaucrat of some kind, again, an adjacent industry, government gone. So you will pay taxes, meaning you have a stake in this country. You will be a male between the ages of 30 to 70. And if not, then you can't vote. And maybe you're sitting there screaming, ah, that excludes me, Jesse. You suck. Jesse, I hate your guts. Let me try to soften the blow with this. Do you have any idea how red your country would be if only men between the ages of 30 and 70 voted? I don't know that Democrats could win elections in California if only men between the ages of 30 and 70 voted. So for every woman I just offended with all that stuff out there, I get it. I just said you shouldn't be allowed to vote. Do you want to live in a free country? Does that sound appealing to you? I do. And look, I'd give up my right to vote. If you told me there was some specific demographic that could vote and keep me free, you could have my right to vote. If you told me a parakeet voted to the right every single time, I would say, okay, only parakeets vote. I don't need to vote. I just want to be free. I don't need to go in and vote. I want to be free. I want my government to be small. I want them out of my life. I want them to stop blowing all my money. I want to be free. So are you interested in voting or are you interested in being free? Because people think those two things are the same thing and they're not the same thing at all. At all. We have way too many voters in this country. It's one of the big things I've always differed with the right on. Get out the vote. We got to get out the vote. Everyone get out the vote. No, I don't want you to get out the vote. If I have to motivate you to get out the vote, stay home. I don't want another idiot wandering into the voting booth. Yeah, that's exactly right, Chris. Why do you think Democrats want to lower the age to 16 and 14? The more idiots who get to vote, the more idiots we get in elected office. Exhibit A. No, no more. No more of this nonsense. And again, that's anti-freedom. Was Thomas Jefferson anti-freedom? When this country was founded, property owners, men, voted. And the country stayed free for a whole long time. Now look at us. Now look where we're at. Stuck with a freaking government that can shut down your business because somebody gets the sniffles. Nope. I'd like to go back to being free. You can take away my right to vote if you want. I don't care. I want to be free. I don't want to vote. I want to be free. Depends on what your goals are. All right. See, that'll be wildly popular. All right. It's time to start the third hour. And along those lines, someone has a question about radio and the start of the hour. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast.